Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Finding fireflies is great summertime fun. But before you head for the fields in search of fireflies, or lightning bugs as they're also called, there are a few things you should know. First, they're not bugs. They're beetles. And they're not flies. And second, the best time and place to find the blinking beetles is at dusk, in wet, tall grasses, which also happens to be the perfect conditions for man-eating mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes are getting bad, huh?
Yeah, boy, they love us.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Adam South, a biology grad student at Tufts University, and Don Salvatore, an educator at Boston's Museum of Science, are lightning bug experts, armed with industrial-strength mosquito spray. They've come to this soggy field in Lincoln, Massachusetts, at the edge of the evening, well prepared to find fireflies.
All right, okay, so are you ready to go?
Yeah, let me just grab my net and my stopwatch.
Okay.
I have a headlamp.
Adam South straps on his blue light headlamp. Fireflies can't see the color blue. And then he leads the way, but finds barely a flicker.
So usually there's a lot of fireflies out now. But this year, there's been a really bad year for this species here, Photinus greeneye. Because it was so dry last August, we think that it just ended up killing a lot of the larvae. So this year, there's been almost nothing up here in the upper field, unfortunately.
Lightning bugs are rarely seen west of the Rockies, but there are scores of species on the East Coast, though in recent years their numbers seem to be dwindling. So South and Salvador have teamed up for a summer project sponsored by Boston's Museum of Science they call Firefly Watch. Don Salvador says the public is invited to participate.
At the museum, a lot of people would come up to me whenever I was doing anything with insects. They'd come up and ask me what happened to fireflies. I used to see them as children, but they haven't seen them in years. So that got me thinking about, are they disappearing? So we started this citizen science project to find out, to have people go outside at night and count the number of fireflies in their backyard, send the data to us, and at the end of the summer, we will look at it and see what it tells us.
How successful have you been in enrolling citizen scientists?
It's amazing what's happened. We have people collecting data for us in 36 states and Canada and someone in Panama. We have almost 700 people right now collecting data, and the number's going up every day.
When you were a kid, I know when I was a kid, and it was summer, it was great. You get your mayonnaise jar and find those buggers and capture them, and they glow. It's fabulous.
That's right, and I think that's one of the beauties of this project. People are interested in fireflies. They want to help them out, so that's how the project has been spreading.
What'd you guys get? Well, let's see. So Adam's going down on the ground.
Right here.
Oh, let's see.
So I can grab this female for you guys, and you guys can see, but she's perched on the edge of the grass, and you can see her lantern has only one segment there, which is the way that you can distinguish males from females. Otherwise, they look exactly alike. And I saw her respond to a male, so I knew where she was. I'm going to put her back down on the grass. Maybe she can keep on trying to attract a male. There she goes.
Yes. So when you see fireflies flashing, you're looking at a really well-evolved courtship ritual, basically. If you see fireflies flying around, you're probably seeing males. Females mostly stay on the grass. And the males will fly, and they'll flash their species-specific flash. And the females do their own species-specific response, because they pretty much only flash because they're looking for a mate.
So ooh, she's flashing a lot, actually. Really, right?
She's really flashing. Yeah, look at that.
Whoa.
That's great.
So that means she's hot to trot.
I guess so.
Now, I had heard that there are fake flashes by the female, and that she does not have kind things in her heart.
Yes, there's a genus of fireflies, Photurus, that are about twice the size as the Photinus. And when they're done mating, they're looking for a meal. So they will imitate the male Photinus, female Photinus, excuse me, and try to lure the male in. And if she's successful, she ends up eating him.
It's pretty gruesome. I've seen them where the female Photurus will rip the head off the male Photinus, and they drink their blood, basically. Because the blood of the Photinus has these compounds called leucobufagins, which are defensive compound, which protects the fireflies from other predators.
Do we know what makes fireflies flash? Where's the light come from? We know what it is.
So the inside of the lantern of the fireflies are these specialized cells called photocytes. And inside of those photocytes are two different compounds. There's an enzyme called luciferase, and there's a substrate called luciferin. And so basically the enzyme luciferase breaks down the luciferin into a product that then makes light, basically.
The bioluminescent chemicals are named after Lucifer, the fallen angel. Synthesized in factories, the chemicals have many modern applications. They're used in glow sticks. They can detect bacteria and track the effectiveness of anti-cancer drugs. The firefly chemicals are also being developed as organic light-emitting diodes for the next generation of flat-screen TVs.
So what's your intuitive sense? Are the number of fireflies going down? Is the population being harmed?
There are things that you can look at to say it's obvious they're going down because of habitat destruction, because of light pollution, because of pesticides. But until we get the data, we don't know.
To help find out, you can join the Firefly Watch Citizen Science Project. Check out the link at our website, loe.org. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Mitra Taj, and Jeff Young, with help from Sarah Calkins and Marilyn Gavoni. Our interns are Luke Borders, Kim Gittleson, and Jessica Elise Smith. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us at loe.org. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, and the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Rockefeller Foundation and its campaign for American workers. More at rockfound.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.